Well, it has been a minute since I've been back on these airwaves. You might be wondering, another rendition of Sucker Radio or another edition of Sucker Radio, but guess what? This is not Sucker Radio. This is going to be the voice. No, it's not. This is going to be the Sucker Voice Show featuring myself and Dave the Voice Boyce. You may know the name. He has a couple of shows himself, This Boyce Life and The Voice Boyce Show, one of which airs on Sirius XM. Dave, man, this has been a long time coming. I mean, I've been on your shows. You've been on my show. We've done a live show at a UFC event together at a pub. This is going to be fun, man.
This is something I've been trying to get to happen for a while now. And I just had to wait for all the stars to align. I had to wait for a couple of your projects to finalize before we could move forward with this. And I you know what, I consider this an evolution. It's just, and that's the, you know, survival of the fittest. And with evolution comes change. And that's what this show is, you know, a little bit of change for your listening audience.
Exactly. And you and I each, as I said, we have our own shows. I have the Wonder Brand show. You have your shows. Those are basically, you know, pop culture, shooting the shit, just talking about whatever the hell we want. This one is going to be more MMA related, since it is going to be on MMAsucker.com and pushed to the MMA audience and the MMA sphere of things, knowing that we both know quite a bit about mixed martial arts. And when you do dive into it on your show, you know, one of your co-hosts, Murmur, knows a bit about MMA, but Tita does not.
No, she knows lots of stuff, just not in anything to do with MMA or, yeah, no. Well, I mean, she brings a lot to the table, though, let's just say.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, this is going to be fun because you're going to get to vent in a way that you didn't really get to do on your show. And you know what? Maybe we'll bring Murmur on as a guest one of these days and see how that goes.
Murmur would make a great guest. We'll have him on for sure. We'll get lots of people on the show. As this thing evolves and turns into what it's going to be, you know, this is just the first episode. This is the first time that you and I get an opportunity to sit down. I mean, we didn't even make notes. We didn't prep. We didn't do anything. I mean, we had a 30-second conversation before we pushed record. I mean...
Yeah, and that's the way some of these podcasts should be. There's so many shows out there, and there's so many that have a format of, oh, hey, we're going to talk about this, we're going to talk about this, we're going to talk about this. And it's all contrived. And I think the cool thing about what we're going to do is that it's not going to be like that. And I'd like to think that if and when we do get guests on the show, we're going to make it a little different than your average interview. I'd personally like to go the route of, you know, sometimes we talk about fights with these fighters or managers or, you know, coaches. Other times, forget that noise. We just talk about life, what their favorite shows are on Netflix, shit like that. I think we could get a different view of things, being that we aren't going to be the same kind of show as everyone else.
One of the reasons social media has really taken hold in the last few years is the fact that you get behind the scenes. You actually get to learn, for the most part, if it's truly run properly, you get to see who they are as people. And that's kind of what we can do with the show. We can find out who they are. Everybody already knows their credentials as far as what they've done in the octagon or the ring. But what else do they do? You know what I mean? Let's get some personality. Let's find out who they are, what actually makes them tick.
Exactly. Well, my fans know what makes me tick. Your fans might not know what makes me tick. My fans might not know what makes you tick. Let's talk a little bit about that so people know who exactly we are. Dave the Voice Boyce, how exactly did you get introduced to mixed martial arts? What got you into this whole scene? Just talk about your expertise in the game of mixed martial arts. What got you interested in it?
Like a lot of other people, I was introduced to MMA or the UFC at, I think it was UFC 2, and I rented it from a local video store. They did them like, you know, I could look online really quickly, but let's say they did one a year. So I'd missed the first one. The first one I saw was UFC 2, with Royce Gracie obviously coming out on top, the skinny little scrawny guy choking somebody with his PJs and being disappointed, being literally disappointed, because I went in with the mentality of barroom brawls, the biggest man, the dinosaur is going to win, and that went out the window. And I was like, what the fuck just happened? And that was my first introduction to MMA, but jiu-jitsu and Gracie jiu-jitsu, the first martial art that I actually started to train in. It was like, I liked it for the human chess aspect to it. Any idiot in front of a bar, road rage in traffic, anybody can throw a punch, and anybody can get an accidental knockout or a lucky knockout. It's very rarely you have ever seen an accidental armbar, an accidental back mount. You know what I mean? Like these, it's chess. So that was that was my first introduction. But then there was a gap, like a lot of people. All of a sudden, it disappeared for a while. You know, I knew it was still there, but it was different. Like all of a sudden, some rules started to come in, and then I jumped back in around the Kevin Randleman era, and I believe the fight that I watched was Kevin Randleman versus Boss Rutten.
Yeah.
And I didn't understand, watching the fight, I was like, okay, well, the guy on top's not doing anything. He's holding him there. And I thought for sure they were going to give it to, obviously, Randleman. And that was the last time a guy in the bottom ever won a match was that. And that was one of my reintroductions into it. And then I fell off again. But this whole time, like, I was an avid wrestling fan, like pro wrestling. So in the mid-90s, I started listening to a lot of internet radio shows. Prior to podcasts, you would actually just have to stream it off of their site. And one of the shows that I listened to was Law, Live Audio Wrestling. But they also covered MMA. So that got me back in. And that was around the time when supposedly Tito Ortiz was ducking Chuck Liddell. And then he was like, he slept on my couch. I don't want to fight him. And then Randy came in and fought Chuck. So that's when I got back in. Like, and that was when I became a diehard fan. I stopped watching professional wrestling and I only watched MMA.
I was in about the same boat as you. I was a huge pro wrestling fan. Because my birthday's at the end of March, it was always, you know, WrestleMania time. We'd have family parties at my house, and I'd have that black box and watch WrestleMania every chance I could. The family always hated it, but hey, what the fuck? It was my birthday. I got to watch what I wanted to. But I got introduced to mixed martial arts sort of the same way as you did. I didn't rent a video from the local video store, though. My buddy had a black box, and we were in his basement and just flipping through the channels, and one night there just happened to be this Ultimate Fighting Championship. It wasn't even UFC back then. It was the Ultimate Fighting Championship. And it was the very first one. And we were like, oh my God, this is crazy. These guys are going to like fight to the death.
How old do you think you were at that age? Like 12?
Yeah, maybe.
Pretty young, right?
Yeah, I was young. It was a buddy of mine from my hockey team. And there were a bunch of us just hanging out. Yeah, probably about 12 or 13, something like that. I was thinking, what is going on? And a lot like you, there were dark ages after that where we didn't watch very much, right? Because it was very hard to come by. And
especially
the
in
local
Canada.
Video stores didn't necessarily have that. You
especially
know what I mean?
In Canada. So, for anybody that lives in the States that's listening, it's all back then, especially in the late 80s, early 90s. It wasn't until the mid-2000s that I think Canada caught up as far as getting things at the same time that America did. There'd always be like a 2-3 month lag between everything and anything in the 80s and 90s.
So it's like, crazy to even think about the way video stores worked back then. I remember writing down on a piece of paper or going to the video store and they would have a chart of when movies were coming out. Oh my goodness, November 21st, this movie comes out. And you would wait and wait and wait. And it was like 2 years after it was in the theater that it comes out on video. Shit, things these days are coming out to the video store, well, Netflix and on DVD, 2-3 months after they were in the theater. It's insane how long we waited back in the day.
Yeah, so UFC 1 was 1993. So I was...
I was 12.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's crazy. And then, as you said, they were like once a year after that kind of thing, and people knew who Hoist Gracie were, and they knew who Ken Shamrock was, but the names weren't as big as they are now, where you know a ton of these guys on the cards. Well, maybe not the preliminary fighters for some of you people that are listening, but a lot of the names you know the Conor McGregors, the big names in the sport. Obviously,
the Ronda
Rouseys,
the George St. Pierres.
Exactly. There's names that you know if they were mentioned. Even the layman out there, if you mention the name Conor McGregor or Anderson Silva even, you might know the name. But we're going to dig into this stuff and let you guys know the details on the little guys as well, and the local scene, and the local scene from where you guys are. Maybe we'll dive into that as well. But you also train, right, Dave? You train in jiu-jitsu, you train in boxing a little bit?
I train in boxing. I've had three comedic, like charity fights, you could say, you know, kind of like, they take part of the thing called Ellis Mania, which is another radio host on Sirius XM, Jason Ellis. He puts on an event once a year with all the proceeds and the money going to charity, and he puts together quote-unquote celebrity but quasi-celebrity boxing matches, and they're usually comedic. There's like musical chairs boxing, there's pinata boxing, blindfolded boxing. Like, it's a good time. So I've taken part in three of those events, and as well as I've multiple jiu-jitsu tournaments throughout the years. I still continue to train. I'm just coming over, and like anybody else that trains in any of these sports, this is a common occurrence. I'm just getting over an injury right now, so I can't actually I can't wait to get back to hitting the pads in the gym and rolling on the mats. Just I feel less of a human in the last little while. I broke my middle knuckle on my left hand back in October, so a ways back, and it's still mending. And because you need your hands to punch and you need your hands to grapple, I'm kind of just sitting on the sidelines.
Yeah, I've had those days. I sat on the sidelines for a long time, but back on the mats now. I actually do have the competition bug a little bit. Don't know if it's actually going to happen because I have to cut quite a bit of weight to get back to where I would love to compete at. But it might happen. I might actually compete at the end of April here if all goes as planned.
At what weight would you like to be competing at?
167.
And what are you standing on the scale at right now?
194 right now. And so I'd have to...
That's a big drop.
I mean, it's a significant cut, but I'd have to also cut a little lower than that because I'd have to weigh in with the gi on. And so I might, if I do compete at a weight class higher, which would be 181, which wouldn't be as big of a cut.
I was going to say, maybe this time, first time back, go with something that,
And I mean, I haven't competed
manageable
since
and
I was...
possible.
Exactly. And I haven't competed since I was a 3-stripe white belt. So this is like 8-9 years ago that I competed last. I didn't compete at all as a blue belt. Step on the mats in front of everyone at the Richmond Oval at the Copacabana tournament, possibly at the end of April, as a fresh purple belt.
And that was the last time, or that is
no,
okay,
that would be
you just received
this one
your purple
would
belt.
Be yeah. I will compete.
And that is a tournament that is put on by Apex, is it not?
Yeah, that's our home tournament, actually. It's the first one they've put on, I think, in 2 years. They're bringing it back because some of these local tournaments, other than CBJJF, which does a fantastic job with their tournaments, every other tournament in the Lower Mainland here in Vancouver sucks. And when you go to them and you're the coaches at the tournaments and you see how it's run, and it sort of gives you that, oh, shit, I need to throw one of these things again. So that's what's happening. Apex is putting on the tournament again because they put on hella good tournaments.
Milo and Marcy do a great job at everything they do. The owners of Apex and the creators and founders of the tournament. Great pillars of the jiu-jitsu community.
That they
which is
are.
Hard to come by, I have to be honest. A lot of politics involved in
jiu-jitsu.
I mean,
politics in everything. We see that with all this stuff. And I think... We won't necessarily get into the politics on this show.
I was
know.
Actually, I was
you
about
never
to
know they might come up, right?
It it baffled me. Coming from skateboarding and knowing where skateboarding is and the size of skateboarding, and then when I started to get into jiu-jitsu, I'm 44 now, and I think I started when I was 35. And to hear the gossip about jiu-jitsu, like you start to hear it on the mats, and then you become better friends with the instructors, so they're a little more open to you about where they used to train, why they don't train there anymore. And then you start to hear about the other clubs around the city, what they like about them, what they don't like about them, who did this, who did that. You can't go train there. And I was like, what? Okay, I understand the other gossip. You're just talking shit. That's fine. But what do you mean I can't go train there? And that aspect of jiu-jitsu baffled me. That would literally, like, turf war type things. It would be like, I'm from North Van. You can't come skate at the North Van parks. Oh, you're... You know what I mean? It's like, yeah
for sure.
Yes, I can.
And you know what? You know, I think the jiu-jitsu community has come a long ways since those times, because there are a lot of open mats where many different clubs are welcome, and it's become very, especially in the Lower Mainland, it's become a very open community. But there are still closed-minded people, which suck for the sport of jiu-jitsu, because, you know, it's supposed to be no politics, and it's supposed to be, you know, the gentle art where everyone's loving each other and you are choking each other out or you're armbarring each other and then you're high-fiving after you have a match. So why can't it be the same way when you're training? And really, you know this as much as everyone else, that you're going to get the most out of your training if you go and you do train with other people, because then you own your skills a little bit more. You know that what you're getting in your own gym. Like, if you go onto the competition mat only knowing what you have in your gym, you might get schooled out there because you haven't seen what everyone else has to offer.
Everybody trains differently. It's like style and skateboarding. Everybody's different.
There's got to be politics in skateboarding, though.
There is, but not to the same degree. And I mean, skateboarding is at a point now that it's a very mainstay sport. I use that word... I don't want to call skateboarding a sport because, you know, I grew up as as an aggressive youth that used it as a way to channel that aggressive nature I had inside of me. It was a rebellious activity. But you know, it's going to be in the 2020 Olympics. So if something is in the Olympics, I'm going to have to just call it a sport, regardless to whether I, you know, agree or disagree. But coming from skateboarding, it's at a stage where we have the X Games. I mean, skateboarding made the X Games. Mountain Dew, Red Bull sponsorship. It's in every SUV ad, it's in orange juice ads, it's in McCain's fries ads, you know what I mean? It's huge. Skateboarding is massive. The amount of people that wear skateboard product that have never skateboarded keeps the skateboard industry alive.
Oh, yeah. Would you not, I guess not politics then, maybe more so jealousy?
Well, no, and that's my point. Is escape? There is, for sure, and there's skateboarders are haters. We are absolute haters. We hate on everything. We hate on our own shit. We hate on everybody else's shit. We're just like meh, 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 meh. And I'm not saying we're not. The reason the politics of jiu-jitsu baffled me then is I'm like, hang on, you guys are squabbling amongst yourselves when nobody knows what the fuck you are or what you're doing yet. And that's what baffled me. And skateboarding was huge. So that was me going like, guys, you have to come together to a certain degree. You have to grow this sport. You have to turn it into something that people actually care about before you get into the political aspect of it. Like, grow it, nurture it, make it into something that you can be fucking pissed off about. You know what I mean? And it wasn't there yet. Like, it was so hard to find a jiu-jitsu place to train. There, when I started training, I think there was three places in Vancouver.
Yeah. Like, and now they pop up. And now they pop up on every corner.
Yeah. If there's only three places to skateboard in all of Vancouver, holy fuck. You know, and that was I just didn't get it. I'm like, your sport is so small. Nurture this thing. It's so niche. It's beyond niche. You know what I mean? Not everybody wants to get a cheese grater cloth rubbed across their forehead just because this guy's trying to pass your guard. Like, a lot of people are like, fuck that shit, I'm out of here. Are you kidding me? They'd be like, especially because I was in a new club who wanted to make a point of training killers, the calisthenics, the workout at the beginning, because they thought their mentality when I first started training at the gym I started to train at was, if you learn the technique and perform the technique when you're fatigued is the best time to do it. So they would train you so hard at the beginning of class, at the workout, and then drilling, and then live rolling. And that's first day. I puked, I think, the first five classes.
Plenty of people quit because of the warm-ups.
Exactly. So, I remember having conversations with the owners of the club that I was training at the time, and once again, because of politics, they've now split. They're not together. They have two different clubs that they train at. So, I just don't get it. I didn't get it. I'm like, the sport is so small, it's so nichey, and it's for a certain individual. You know what I mean? It's for two type of people. It's for the textbook nerd that likes the chess aspect to it, or it's for the hard-nosed, I'm not giving up meathead. And I'm not talking like the dumb meathead. I'm just talking like the meathead that... The smarter of the two meatheads, let's just say.
For sure. And a lot of those dumb meatheads get thrown out the door just as quickly as they came in the door.
Oh, for sure. They give up immediately because, you know, beach muscles only take you so far. And that's, you know, about 60 seconds.
Exactly. That little scrawny nerd of a guy tapped him out 15 times in 5 minutes.
Yeah, because he only had to, you know, withstand 60 seconds, which if he has any training whatsoever, you can just hold him in his guard and just like, okay, this is going to be fun. It truly is entertaining to watch a true, not a master, but somebody that knows enough that he can just dummy the big meathead on the first day. It was so, like, I would just sit back and watch those. Those would be entertaining. or the teenager beating up the adult.
That happens all the time. Yeah.
I remember watching he's 19 now, but at the time he was 15. And I just watched him throttle this 6'2", like 210-pound cop.
That's
it was
awesome.
Just so fun to watch.
Oh, I bet. And you know what? Those are the videos
and you're protecting
that go viral, right?
Serve and protect.
Yeah, for sure. I know people are used to our shows, both of our shows, going a little bit longer. But you know what? I think people have heard enough of us banter about ourselves. We could get into some news, but fuck, we don't even have an intro yet. We don't have an outro. We have no music. We have no song. Dave, I just want to get your sort of outlook on what fans and people can expect out of our show, the Sucka's Voice show, coming up in the not-so-distant future.
Well, we'll be talking about MMA from time to time, and then that will most likely, you know, continue the banter into other topics. I feel we have the tendency to drift, so I think people are going to fall in love with that.
Speaking of drifting, yeah, you know, we were talking about it before the show. I said we were going to get going here because people have heard our banter enough, but forget that. Let's talk a little bit more. Netflix has their new Marvel show out, Iron Fist. I know we were texting about it, and I said, you know, I'm a couple episodes deep. I've watched a few more since then. You said you watched a few and then passed out because, you know, it wasn't Jessica Jones, you said. But
that was my quote. Yep.
Exactly. Exact quote, I believe. But I text you back and I said, you know those videos of those old guys in tracksuits that do shit very, very slowly and guys just crumple? I felt that was the way that Iron Fist looked a lot of the times when he was fighting in the show, especially when he was just doing these moves with the Asian chick in the gym. They were just sort of la-di-da. And I don't know whether they meant for it to look like that, but it was eerily like those lame videos that you see on the internet.
I was disappointed on many aspects of Iron Fist. I think they had a huge opportunity here. I think they've done well with the other projects that they put out on the Netflix platform. Daredevil turned out well. Luke Cage was good. Jessica Jones was my favorite out of all of them. They had an opportunity here to do something different, and I feel they just did a watered-down version of the other series. So once again, a lot of like street level fighting, low level stuff, like, because, you know, the Avengers is big level stuff and Guardians of the Galaxy is, you know, in outer space. And they, you know, they're trying to give the different tiers of superheroes the way it is in the comics.
Mm-hmm.
They had an opportunity to make this really good. They could have done more crossovers with the other shows because they're going to be leading in from this to their Defenders, which is going to have Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, Daredevil, as well as Iron Fist. They didn't have any cameos of any significance. They had
Rosario Dawson, and I think they Rosario just use Dawson. Her in everything.
They have used her in every single one, and she plays the character Night Nurse. So what she is she's the character that stitches up all of the street-level superheroes. The acting of the character, Danny Rand, done by, Finn Jones, he hasn't done much. And that's something they have done in all the other Netflix, Marvel Universe shows is they're not really known characters, but at least they've chosen, the best way I can describe it is, what's the fucking character? What's the guy's name from Christensen? Hayden Christensen. Christensen this. And he's just not that good of an actor, unfortunately. And that was my biggest, outside of, the choreographed fight scenes that were done as if you were a Shaolin monk and you were using, like, I don't know, some sort of space age magic of some description to make the guy fly across the room. I agree with you. But it started with the acting for me. The character is just the actor himself just can't act.
And it's not even him. I think they miscast on a few of the characters. They didn't do the show the justice that, exactly like you said, it deserved. It could have been way better than it was. And despite me sort of liking it, I think, like, you know, that's the thing. I don't even know if I actually do like it or not. I'm to the point where I'm just watching it because. But I know a lot of people out there in the Twitter universe and Instagram and whatnot are really dogging on the show.
Yeah. And you know what? I didn't hate it. I watched every single episode. I watched it in 2 days. But I am an uber dork. I love martial arts. All of these Marvel Universe shows that are on Netflix are very in a martial art-based universe. You know, I'm mission through it. I just think they could have done a better job. I think they can fix anything. I think it's 8 episodes of The Defenders that are going to be coming out, which is really weird because The Defenders in the comic book series, I think, was like Doctor Strange, the Hulk, Silver Surfer, and somebody else. Anyways, I'm not whatever. I'm as somebody that is a self-professed dork. I have a major love for Star Wars and anything superheroes. I'm happy as hell that they have this opportunity to put out, like, I mean, that it's so popular right now that they can do this type of thing. But if you put out crap like this, if you put out crap like most of the X-Men movies, if you put out crap like Iron Man 3, the well will dry up. You actually, if you want to continue to make money from these vehicles,
I think we've dried up. Yeah, for sure. I think we've dried up enough of these people's ears for the first episode of the Suck a Voice show. I'm very, very excited.
Dave, you can go on forever about this shit. So.
Oh, I could, for sure. And us dorks both can say goodbye. So Dave the Voice Boyce, thank you very much for joining us for the very first episode of the Suck a Voice show. It will be a weekly thing, I believe. I'm not completely positive yet. We haven't actually decided
that. Oh, I'm
going
to make you do
that,
this weekly.
As you said.
No, not every week. We'll be here.
There you go. Just let people know where they can
happen.
You can find me on Instagram at Jeremy_604, on Twitter at JeremyBrand604. Dave, where can they find you?
This Boyce Life on Instagram, Twitter, and Snapchat. I never use the Snapchat, though.
That does it. The Suck a Voice show is out.
Thanks, everybody. We'll talk to you next week. Peace out.